Hello, Ramblings magazine reader. Welcome. The headings are, I will never forget. I grew up on the street. I live in Denver. I must say I am impressed. Me and spirituality. Recipe fears. Introduction to recipe book. My biggest fear today. Thanksgiving memories. Is this poisonous? Jeff graduates from Front Range. Ramblings magazine podcast. Memorable birthday. Write about anything. I believe. Is this the beginning of the end? Life goes on. Ouch! Halloween fun. Springtime happiness. Pam and Paul, Nuremberg, Germany. I am having a mental block. Writing group recap. What am I thinking today? A world of fruit. My take on the Iowa caucuses. Memories. Weather memory. Most men become fathers. Another victim of the book bug. The sunset is on the horizon. Photo memories.
This is the 10th issue of Ramblings magazine. Who would have ever thought? Many have commented that my blogs and memories should be in a printed format. This is the purpose of Ramblings magazine. I will never forget June 19, 2024 WordPress. The night of April 11th, 2010, I had a strange dream. This involved a girl, woman, I have not thought about for 68 years. This was Sandra. I went to grade, junior, and high school with her. In grade school, Sandra and I were very close. The first time we met, we were attracted to each other. That was over 60 years ago, and I can't say that I can remember that much about that time. We did make it a point to be next to each other and would look for each other when there was a gathering. I do remember one event that still is important to me. During that time, there were tables the size where two individuals sat at the table. We always made it a point to sit at the same table if we were able to. Anyway, the teacher was rambling on, and I was on the left, Sandra was on the right. Our arms were resting on the table, and they were barely touching each other. I was starting to get this tingling feeling from my elbow down to my wrist where our arms were interacting. This felt great. I can still feel the tingling going up and down my arm. Sandra was having the same response. She looks at me and smiles. I will never forget this moment. This was before sex ever became involved or thought about. One could say she was my first girlfriend, maybe even my soulmate, and didn't realize it. We went on to high school and began to drift apart. My teenage years were very hard for me. I was angry and mad. I didn't like myself. I didn't like the feelings and thoughts I was having. Those apparent hormones were doing a number on me. I had a loving family, all the things a teenager could expect. Driving at 16, a part-time job and money in my pocket. Looking back at those times, I would say I was a jerk. Because of this, I killed the relationship between me and Sandra. We went our separate ways, and I didn't think of her until April 11, 2010. In this dream, Sandra came to me and said, "Tom, I was meant, created, for you. However, you rejected me. Our lives would have been totally different if you would not have rejected me." This dream was a visual and moving dream. This bothered me because I wondered why I dreamt of Sandra after not seeing or hearing about her for over 50 years or more. Finally, on April 18th, I thought I would search for some information about Sandra. Going to my yearbook newsletters, I found out she was married to Ed. I did a Google search and came up with an obituary stating that Sandra passed away April 8, 2010. That was only 3 days before I had my strange dream. This really shocked me and leaves me with more questions than answers. Was this a visit from someone who recently died? Would my life have been different? Would it have been better or worse? I will never know. I have had a good life and I feel I have made more good decisions instead of bad decisions. Did this change my outlook? Yes, it did. I have never been a strong religious person, even though I was born and raised a Catholic. They teach that there is life after death. But I always had in the back of my mind, that may be wrong. However, after this dream, I am convinced that yes, there is something after death. This dream occurred in 2010 and the dream relieved me of that thought ever since. Death is not final. You can come to your own conclusion. Life is one large teaching experience. From birth until death, you are learning. I grew up on this street, your hub, Date unknown. In 1941, my parents had a house built on South Decatur Street. They lived in this house when I was born. The reason they built on this street was because my dad worked at Gates Rubber Company, and South Decatur was a short drive to Mississippi and Santa Fe Drive, which was the location of Gates Rubber Company at that time. Across the street from where we lived was an older house. I would guess that it was built in the early 1900s. This house had three gigantic elm trees in the front yard and a large weeping willow in the back. This was the first house in the block. As Denver grew, more and more houses were built on this street. This street grew up and matured at the same time I grew up. One of my favorite pastimes was to watch the tractors dig the basement holes, lay the foundation, and build a house on this foundation. The neighbor kids and I had many enjoyable hours playing in the mounds of dirt and the houses in various stages of completion. I can still smell the fresh pine smell emitting from a freshly framed house. As the neighborhood expanded, it needed city sidewalks and a new asphalt street. This project occupied most of the summer for me. I remember them moving the houses' shut-off valves closer to the houses because the new street was going to be wider, and the valves could not be under the street or the new sidewalk. Each house on the block needed a hole dug about 6 feet long from the shut-off valve going closer to the house. These holes were dug by a construction worker at the time. I don't know why they didn't use a tractor. I spent hours watching this worker dig these holes in front of each house and move the valve farther back into the yard. The forms for the sidewalks were installed, and it seemed like a 100 cement trucks came to fill the forms for the walks. It didn't take much to entertain me when I was young. After the street and sidewalks were finished, we discovered roller skates. The kind that you would clamp onto your street shoes and hope they would stay on for a while. The street had a small incline, and many hours were spent skating up to the corner and then coasting down to the other corner. We must have done that thousands of times. When you finally take off your skates, your little feet would continue to tingle and feel strange for a period. This street also had a business. It was the neighborhood Kool-Aid stand. I wonder if the neighbors ever got tired of hearing us calling out, "Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid, ice cold Kool-Aid." This was a residential street, and we never did that well because there was not that much outside traffic. Sometimes I think some neighbors bought Kool-Aid just to shut us up for a while. This street has many memories for me. These are just a few. I have lived on this street for 20 years or more. After my parents passed on in the 80s, I lived in the house for a couple of years. I could see the neighborhood declining and decided to sell. I occasionally drive down the street and recall the years I spent on the street where I grew up. I Live in Denver, published January 2, 2008, yourhub.com, printed January 10, 2008. I have been a resident of Denver for most of my 65 years of life. It has been a good life. I am not complaining about life in Denver. I have no desire to move to another state. I have vacationed in many areas of the U.S. I have been in Italy, Switzerland, Germany, Vienna, and Hungary. These visits have given me a broad overview of other parts of this world in America. Life in Denver is not a perfect world. There are some things that make me wonder why I am staying in Denver. For example, I am retired, over 65, and a member of Silver Sneakers. This is an exercise and fitness program through my Medicare Advantage health insurance coverage. However, I must drive about 5 miles to Englewood Recreation Center or the Bear Valley YMCA to use their facilities. Denver Parks and Recreation does not participate in this senior program. If I want to use the Denver Recreation Center 6 blocks away, I must pay to use it. Obviously, I go outside of Denver for my exercise. To experience some cultural enjoyment, my wife and I have been season ticket holders at Town Hall Arts Center in Littleton, Link. We attended some performances at Denver Center for the Performing Arts. In my opinion, parking is a pain and overpriced. The seating in the theater is crammed too close together, and with my long legs I could not get very comfortable. I am not saying I will never go down there again, but I am saying, it will have to be something special to even consider going down there again. Denver has an ordinance that walks must be shoveled 24 hours after it stops snowing. A house next to me has been vacant since March, and the walks have not been touched since the first time it started to snow this winter. There are at least 5 houses near me that have not shown any attempt to clear the sidewalks. 2 days after the snow stopped, the city sent a snow plow down the street. Unfortunately, the plow pushes the snow onto the sidewalk that I had nicely shoveled. Now I must remove an 8-inch high snow window from the sidewalk. Recently, I read in the newspaper that 100,000 people moved to Colorado in 2007. I don't have an exact figure, but in the neighborhood I live in, there are quite a few homes that have been foreclosed and vacant. Just as many are up for rent and vacant. These new people sure aren't moving in this neighborhood. I know what direction my property value is going. In September, I wrote a story about natural vegetation or weeds. After the first freeze, these tumbleweeds blew into my yard. My back fence looked like a dust bowl scene with tumbleweeds piled high. It was on my property, I had to clean it up. During the summer, we have the windows open. I don't have air conditioning. Every night around 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. my bladder needs attention. After attending to my bladder, it may take 30 minutes or more before I go back to sleep. Many times, I hear someone blasting away with his or her handgun. The bars close at 2 a.m. and I am speculating someone is just feeling their alcohol and shooting in the air. Are we going to be victims of violence someday? I could continue to vent about other events in Denver life. I think these six examples show that Denver life is not the land of perfection. Why do I stay in Denver? As I get older, I am beginning to ask this question more and more all the time. I guess the main reason I don't make a move is that I am comfortable in this Denver life. Nothing has pushed me over the edge. Another reason is the real estate market in this area. I am sure the value of our property is higher than what we could get out of it. Another large factor is that my wife has lived here for over 40 years, and convincing her to move will be a monumental task. With all this in mind, I will probably live in Denver until I am unable to maintain and keep up our Denver home. I feel a part of happiness is accepting your situation and making the best of it. I must say, I'm impressed. Published July 22, 2008, yourhub.com. I have heard about MP3 players for years. I have heard how popular Apple iPod are, and you see all these young people sporting earbuds and an armband with some kind of electronic device in the armband. I did not think much about them. I just thought of another form of transporting music. I have never been much of a musical person. I have a small collection compared to some of the collections I have seen. Well, now it is different. I have discovered another piece of modern technology. It all started when we went camping near the end of June. We went to Seminole State Park, which is 30 miles north of Sinclair, Wyoming. There was no cell phone service, and the only radio was Cowboy Bob announcing about some rattlesnake hunt. The RV had a CD player, but I was hesitant to use it, very much in fear of draining the vehicle's battery. We also failed to bring any CDs. That is all I needed, was a dead battery way out in the sticks. The group were with seasoned campers, and they came prepared. They came with their boom boxes. I remember when they used to be called ghetto blasters until that name became politically incorrect. My son-in-law also had an Apple Nano iPod. They were ready to really rough it. I asked my son-in-law about his iPod. He said it could hold 2,000 songs and you just plug it into the boom box's input and listen forever. He said that this is the way to carry music around. There they were in the middle of nowhere, and he had his entire selection of music. 2 weeks later, we took another trip. I bought an inexpensive boom box before the trip so we could at least listen to some of our favorite CDs. This was okay. However, toting all those CDs is kind of cumbersome. With that experience, I am in the market for an MP3 player. I don't want to spend $200 for something I may not use very often. I started looking at the printed ads and surfing the internet for an MP3 player in the price range I want to be in. Sunday, Office Depot had a Sansa player by SanDisk for a final cost of $20 plus the governor's share. This had a ticket price of $79.99 with a $60 rebate. This was right in my price range. If it doesn't work out like I want it to be, I am only out a little over $20. This unit has a 2G memory and it says it will hold about 500 songs. It also has a slot for an additional micro SD memory card. For less than $20, I could double the memory on this unit. The battery is recharged through your USB port and a charge lasts over 30 hours. Another additional feature is an FM radio feature. I didn't even expect this. There are other features I won't cover at this time. I use Windows Media Player, and first you have to rip, another new word for an old guy like me, to your computer hard drive. Plugging in the player to the USB port for the first time, Windows detects the hardware and installs the required drivers. Then you can see the player in the Windows Media Player. To add songs to the player, you just drag and drop the songs to the player. You then sync, another new word in my new technology vocabulary. After you have loaded all the songs you want, you are ready to go. My favorite library is only about 125 songs. I have all kinds of room. Now I can carry all my favorite songs in a unit that is about 1 inch by 5 inches. Wow. I am impressed. These sure beats having to carry around all those CDs. In addition to taking this on camping trips, it can be used on airlines instead of fighting with that airline trash and the seat jacks that usually don't work right. The unit even came with a set of earbuds, another word for earphones. This MP3 player is really a nice convenience. I don't see how they can sell this for only $20. Me and Spirituality WordPress, June 24, 2024. First, a little history about me. I was born and raised a Catholic. My mother was a devout Catholic and grandma, her mother was also. Grandma lived with us until I was 15 when she passed away. My dad was raised a Baptist but did not practice any religion. Anyway, I was started out as a Catholic. I went through all the things a young person did growing up as a prospective Catholic. I went to catechism every Sunday after service. Listened to my mother and grandma about the Catholic religion. I was baptized, did first confession and first communion. Finally, confirmation, to become a soldier of Christ. During that time, I ended up with the impression that it was very difficult to become worthy of entering heaven. After your death, God was there with his big tablet and you had to account for every sin you committed during your time on earth. I cannot ever remember being told that God loves you unconditionally. During this time, the church used fear of eternal suffering in hell to be a good human. Being just human was a sin. I went through most of my life as a Catholic, trying to earn my way into eternal life with God. During this journey, I had some spiritual events. First, when my grandmother was on her deathbed, she did not have time for us. She said that there were these two angels in the corner of the hospital room waiting for her. You can believe that or not. Secondly, when my mother was in hospice, she said to me, "Tom, I am afraid of dying. I don't know what is waiting for me. I am very afraid." This really bothered me because she was a devout Catholic and I thought she should be more prepared for death. I was disturbed until a short period after her service my mother came to me in a dream. She was sitting in her favorite chair with the Mona Lisa smile on her face and communicated to me, "Tom, everything is great, I am at peace, do not be concerned about me." You can believe that or not. Thirdly, I met this girl in grade school. We became very attached to each other. We had something special. Being the jerk I was in high school, I ended the relationship. Around 60 years later, she came to me in a dream and said, "Tom, I was meant, created, for you. However, you rejected me. Our lives would have been totally different if you would not have rejected me." I woke up with a start and it bothered me. After a period of time, I did some research and discovered that she died 3 days before I had this dream. Did a spirit visit me? You can believe it or not. Fourth, I was taking a walk alone in the afternoon and this voice said to me, "Tom, stop trying to be somebody you are not, just be yourself, that is why you are on earth." Since then, I am just being myself. Finally, I had a near-death experience and after I thought I took my final breath, I was someplace, and I felt peace, total peace. What I felt is difficult to explain. I was having a feeling I have never felt in my 80-plus years, peace. I truly believe I experienced a preview of time after death. In conclusion, my religious experience and the above spiritual events has prepared me for the final days. The final days may be soon or 20 years from now. When the time comes, I will be ready to experience that feeling of peace, total peace. I am convinced God loves us unconditionally and Christ died for our sins. Recipe Fears, September 3, 2015 Writing Group. Here I sit trying to think about the new challenge in my life. This is to come up with a recipe or recipes for the writing group's recipe book. Let it be known that the kitchen has never been my favorite room. When I was young, my mother and grandmother did all the cooking for the family. I had no interest in cooking when growing up. Maybe because the meals were always available when growing up, I never acquired a taste to learn how to cook. The next part of my life was time in the army. This experience never spurred the interest in cooking. In fact, KP duty pushed me farther away from the kitchen, or as they say in the army, the mess hall. Back from the army, I returned to the safety of my parents and having my mother provide the cooking and hear recipes. Shortly after I marry my first wife, Julie. From my mother's cooking to having a wife to do the cooking. This continued on for over 10 more years of my life. The only time in my life I was forced to cook was my single years after my divorce until the time of my second marriage to D. This time was a rude awakening. I had to cook for myself, what a shock. I also had to cook for my two sons when they stayed with me over the weekend. I did get a small crock pot and learned to use it many times. This was convenient because I could prepare something and it would be ready for the evening meal. Of course, I never learned anything about completing a meal. Most of my meals were one-course meals. I do remember about my noodle throw-together meal though. Noodles were one of my mainstays. One time when I had my sons, I put together noodles, spaghetti sauce, spices, and whatever. That was really good, even my sons like it. Unfortunately, I did not write down the ingredients and I was never able to replicate this tasty meal. Then I met Dee, we married and my cooking situation vastly improved. I do remember when I retired that I decided that I would try my hand at cooking. Well, this didn't last long because I could not find anything in the kitchen and this adventure ended pretty fast. Introduction to Recipe Book December 3, 2015 Writing Group. Every recipe has a story. Unfortunately, the recipe lasts longer than the story behind the recipe. This recipe book has a different twist to it where the story is included with the recipe. The writing group consists of people who not only enjoy writing but also enjoy showing their talents in the kitchen. This book will not only include their recipes but a short story behind their recipes. Not all have kitchen talents and these few share stories about good eating experiences and memorable bad experiences. These stories have been included so that all members can share in this writing experience. The writing group is always looking for new members. If you would like to join us, feel free to contact any member and they will give you the particulars. My biggest fear today, October 6, 2016 Writing Group. Going through life you have different fears. During my younger years I had a strong fear of black widow spiders. This is because of growing up with stories and events involving black widow spiders. As I aged, I have had other fears. For example, I have gained a fear of height and to this day this fear continues to bother me. Having breakfast with a good friend and discussing the subject of the biggest fear we have now. It took some serious thought on this subject and I finally came up with the biggest fear I have now. This is the fear of outliving my wife, D. It may sound selfish but that is the biggest fear I have. To be alone without the presence of D in the home is scary. Even when D has another function and I must stay alone, I get very lonely. I cannot imagine spending day after day without her presence. We spend many hours apart when at home, me downstairs, her upstairs. It is just the knowing that she is in the home with me is all that is necessary. The home is very quiet and empty without her spirit in the house. This is my biggest fear today. Thanksgiving memories November 3, 2016 Writing Group. The first memory of Thanksgiving is dry turkey. In my younger days we had to go over to my dad's aunt's apartment for Thanksgiving dinner. This apartment was an old scary apartment located around 16th and Logan in Denver. The halls were dark and noisy. Echoes would bounce off all the walls and the stairs looked like they came straight out of an Inner Sanctum movie. Aunt Florence and Aunt Margaret were sisters that lived their older years together. Aunt Florence was a spinster all her life and Aunt Margaret's husband died at an early age. They had no children. In fact, the only relatives they had in Denver were my dad. This does not sound like dry turkey, so let me get back to the topic. The turkey was always large and we were honored with taking lots of leftovers home. Turkey sandwiches for a long time after Thanksgiving. Not being a cook, I can just speculate what the aunts did to make this turkey so dry. I would speculate that they cooked it too long and never basted or turned over the turkey while baking. In fact, the skin of the turkey was like thin leather. Even the wings and drumsticks were dry, dry, dry. The meal came with the normal fixings, stuffing, it was dry also, potatoes, veggies and gravy. Gravy was the savior of the day. If it wasn't for gravy, this dry turkey would stick in your mouth and make a swallow very difficult. The meal would end up with a dessert. I cannot remember much about the dessert, so I would say it was not very good or bad, just another dessert. After the dry turkey I remember of going to the Aladdin Theater for the afternoon matinee. I didn't make any difference what was playing because my brother and I just wanted to get out of that hot stuffy apartment. Apparently, The weather was pretty mild and we were allowed to walk home or take the bus. Thinking back now, I am surprised that we were allowed to go home by ourselves, because it was quite a distance from East Colfax to where we lived, near Alameda and S. Federal. In those days there wasn't the fear and dangers that the young generation faces today. I do remember a store walking to the movies that in their front window they had a gigantic ball composed of shoelaces. It must have been close to 3 feet in diameter. I think the store was a shoe repair place. Every year we could see how the size of this ball would grow. Don't get me wrong, I have good memories of Thanksgiving, but this story is about dry turkey and nothing very good can be said about dry turkey. Is this poisonous? Published August 24, 2008, yourhub.com. I walked out to my backyard this morning and discovered this gigantic mushroom. It is 5 inches or more across. You can tell we have received some rain lately. I heard close to 2.5 inches in my area. Mushrooms stay well hidden in the typical hot dry weather of Denver. However, when we get some moisture, the mushroom spores really come to life. I wonder how long a mushroom spore can lay dormant. 1 year? 2 years? Or do they survive many years? This is the largest mushroom I ever recall that came up after some moisture. They are usually between 1 and 2 inches across. The size of this mushroom attracted me to it. If it was the typical small size, I would have just kicked it out and walked over it. All your life you hear, don't eat the mushrooms. If you do, you may die, have wild dreams, and your hand may fall off even if you just touch it. Those are scary statements, and you naturally stay away from these wild mushrooms. Many stories have been told about people picking wild mushrooms and dying because of their ignorance or stupidity. www.naturallist.com has some good photos of mushrooms. I did not see one that looked like the one in my yard though. No, I am not going to eat this thing. I enjoy mushrooms on my pizza, in my spaghetti and many other dishes. These are just small mushrooms, not large like this one I found. Mushrooms have a unique taste to them and add flavor to many dishes. Mushrooms can be used as the main ingredient instead of just a complement to the main ingredient. Recipes can be found at http://www.mushroomrecipes.us. With that, I will let it grow for another day and see if it becomes larger. Maybe tomorrow morning it will be larger and have a leprechaun sitting on it. Then I would really have a story. Just like the tale of finding a dead Bigfoot and finding out it was just a gorilla costume. It sounds like they ate the mushrooms they found in the woods. Jeff graduates from Front Range Community College. Published May 16, 2008, yourhub.com. Thursday evening, May 15, Front Range Community College had a graduation ceremony at the Denver Merchandise Mart Auditorium. Jeff Trellor was a proud recipient of Associate Degree in Engineering Graphics Technology with an emphasis in mechanical drafting. Jeff graduated cum laude. Translating this to everyday language, it means Jeff can draw detailed pretty pictures and his grade point average was between 3.50 and 3.749. The ceremony lasted about an hour with a reception following. Attending the ceremony was Jennifer, his wife, and daughter Jenna. His mother, Julie, with his stepfather and half-sister attended. Jeff's grandparents, John and Barb Seng, from Bridgeport, Nebraska, also attended. Jonathan Seng, Jeff's uncle, was also in attendance. He too is from Bridgeport. John and Carolyn Brenning, Jeff's great-aunt and uncle from Thornton, attended. I would estimate close to 100 or more degrees or certificates were handed out this night. It took Jeff close to 4 years of working full-time, maintaining a family and home, and attending classes required for this accomplishment. Now he can enjoy the reward for all of his hard work. I commend him for sticking it out and completing what he set out to complete. Jeff lives in Westminster with his wife and daughter and works for a medical equipment manufacturer. He was born and raised in the Denver metro area. Ramblings Magazine Podcast, WordPress, June 26, 2024. Since the end of March, I have been combining my postings from various platforms and producing a 20-page series of magazines named Rambling Magazine. Since I have been posting on WordPress since 2009, I have a collection of over 200 postings. I am also on Substack and posted many articles on yourhub.com when it was owned by the Rocky Mountain News. Also, I was a participant of a local writing group. I was told I should write a book with my comments about anything postings. Writing a book and compiling it may take a year or more. That is why I went with the magazine platform. Since I am in my senior years, I may have 10 days left or 10 years. I did not want to start a book and never finish it. My podcast page is my most popular area. The current buzzword is podcast, and it has become a great addition to my site. That is why I have composed a podcast for Rambling Magazine issue number 1. We will see how the response will be. There are times when I wish I was 20 years younger. I believe I could make a career out of this challenge. This blogging journey has been exciting and satisfying. Memorable birthday, January 14, 2006, writing group. I would say my most memorable birthday was when I turned 16. I could hardly wait to turn 16 so that I could get my driver's license and drive. Prior to that, my dad would take me out to a friend of ours who lived on a farm near Berthoud, Colorado, and he would allow me to drive on the roads in the fields. This was a special time in my life. 3 days after my birthday, I was at the DMV getting my driver's license. Of course, in those days the driving qualifications were not as tight as they are these days. That was my most memorable birthday. The hardest birthday for me was my 30th birthday. For some reason, the 30th was the hardest. It could be that I realized that I was at or near the midpoint of my life, and maybe I started to evaluate my life. I just cannot pinpoint why the 30th was the hardest. Write about anything, February 4, 2016, writing group. Writing about anything seems like an easy subject, until you start thinking about it. What do I write about? Should I write about the subjects mentioned or a subject that pops in my mind? Why is it so difficult this day? Surely, I can narrow down a subject to write on, or can I? Everyone is so diligently writing away and I haven't even determined what to write about. Bob is writing away like he is writing his biography. The others are all deep in thought and writing away, pausing to think and then continuing to write. Oh, I can feel the energy radiating from this room, and even the temperature in the room is rising from all this energy. Carol needed to take a drink of water since she is so deep in thought. I just noticed there are 6 writing with their right hand and 2 using their left. Carol is happily typing away on her laptop, as I am when I get a thought. When I am forced to write, I write left-handed. However, my writing is so crappy and used so little lately that I am forgetting how to write. Now I print instead of using cursive. Because of lack of use, this talent is disappearing. Time is going by and the group is slowly finishing up with their tale for the day. I am finishing up because I never got started. I believe February 1, 2018, writing group. After 75 years, you would think that you would have it down on what you believe. Sometime I feel that I am regressing and I am questioning the beliefs and ideals that I was raised and taught throughout my life. To begin with, I was born and raised in the Catholic faith by my mother and grandmother. At that time, we were raised in fear. Practically everything was a sin and you really had to be amazing to make it to the afterlife that you were working for. Religion was tough, and in my early years I made decisions because of this. I was a loyal, faithful Catholic until I acquired some more life experiences under my belt. As life went by, I spent time in the army and learned very much about human nature because I met many different people from different walks of life and different geographical locations. I would say that the best lesson I learned from this experience is that I believe most humans are basically good and does not have the intention to harm other beings. Before I entered the army, I was given the perception that army members had a different outlook of life. This perception was proven wrong. Also, another thing that struck home was that if the occasion arose, these fellow soldiers would give up their lives for me if it became necessary. Life goes on and I get married and have a typical marriage of 2.4 children, a home and a future everyone dreams of. During this time, I had the narrow-minded perception that there was never a marriage, that the problems encountered could not be resolved by some means. I was wrong and found out there are times when is this the beginning of the end? Published July 29, 08 yourhub.com. Last Friday I read an article in the Rocky Mountain News stating that news, Scripps sees a downturn in the second quarter. The Rocky Mountain News posted a $3.9 million loss in the second quarter compared with a $2.2 million loss in the second quarter of 2007. On July 10 I read that E.W. Scripps, owner of the Rocky Mountain News, had their debt rating cut from A to BB+. This is the highest of the junk bond ratings. Is the newspaper business taking the same road as the rotary phone, 8-track players, and vinyl records? I am a long-time subscriber to the news and I just renewed my subscription for another year. I am used to a small paper on Tuesdays, but most of the papers are small all week now. It is going to take some serious thought next June when my subscription comes due again. It is getting harder and harder to see the value of a subscription to a printed paper. I enjoy reading the paper at breakfast and while drinking my morning coffee. On occasion, I have tried the electronic edition of the paper, and pushing a mouse just does not replace that printed copy in front of you. All newspapers are losing subscribers because traditional readers like me are dying off and they are not replaced by the younger set. This is not a unique problem to Rocky Mountain News. Somewhere the Denver newspaper agency fits in the mix. This is the 50-50 partnership between the News and the Denver Post to manage the business operations of the two papers. YourHub.com is also produced by the Denver newspaper agency. YourHub.com is a good concept. I enjoy writing my thoughts and opinions on a wide variety of subjects. I would like to see it grow and succeed. However, for some time I have wondered if YourHub.com will survive if the Rocky Mountain News and the Denver Post go under. All this speculating brings up the big question: is this the beginning of the end? Will there be a Denver Post and Rocky Mountain News next year at this time? Is YourHub.com prepared to continue without the newspapers? The pressure is on. The competition is fierce. Examiner.com, AssociatedContent.com, and even 9news.com have formats very similar to YourHub.com. I guess we will find out what the future brings a year from now. Life Goes On, published September 10, 2008, YourHub.com. In September 2006, I retired after 45 years of employment. This was an adjustment. I don't want to just sit around and watch television. To complement my retirement years, my wife and I joined a writing group in October of the same year. If you were ever in a writing group, you know the routine. My writing history has started. I have always wanted to write. However, I never had or took the time to cultivate this interest. I am retired now so I can work on this interest. June of 2007 comes, and I have a need to get a message out immediately. I signed up for YourHub.com in July of 2005. I used it occasionally, but I was not a heavy user. YourHub.com was an ideal medium for my present need. I wrote an article about the Denver City Council at its worst. To my surprise, YourHub printed the article in the following printed section. This success motivated me to write more articles and to start a blog. I have written 49 stories and 65 blogs since then. YourHub.com really had my interest. I would write about many different subjects and post comments on others' articles. This was an avenue to expose my thoughts and ideas to a public audience. Many of the articles from other contributors gave me an attachment to them, and I felt that friendships were developed. I would write and they would comment. They would write and I would comment. Reading and responding to other thoughts and words has become an interesting and exciting part of my daily routine. I was able to attend a blogger's night and was waiting for another one. Unfortunately, there has not been another one that I know of. In the first part of 2008, it appears that there was a staff turnover in YourHub.com. It happens in every organization. Will this change YourHub.com? We will see. I have noticed some changes. It appears to me that more articles from staff members are printed in Thursday's newspaper insert. Also, many of the longtime contributors appear to have cut back on their contributions. I did become aware of Examiner.com because of this turnover. Some of the YourHub.com contributors have started writing for Examiner.com. I have explored that possibility and declined because of the need to submit a minimum of 3 articles a week. I am retired, 3 a week sounds too much like work. I write when I want to. Also, I want to write about anything and not be restricted to one subject. Therefore, Examiner.com is not for me. On March 30th, the Rocky Mountain News had an article, "Part-Time Writers Find a Niche, and Pay, on the Net." This article introduced me to Helium.com and AssociatedContent.com. I checked both out and decided Helium.com was not for me. I did become an AssociatedContent.com member. It is very similar to YourHub.com. You can write about anything anytime. They also have calls for content. The site has subjects that they need a story on. If you claim the call and they accept your writing, you may receive a small stipend for the story. So far, I have received a large sum of $13. Their readers are from the entire nation, not just local readers. I don't ever expect to receive large sums of money for my writings. The hits you receive are much larger than the ones I have received on yourhub.com. It is ironic that one branch of the Denver newspaper agency has an article that may impact another branch of the same company. In addition to AssociatedContent.com, I was exposed to Blurby.com by Joe McDaniel, another yourhub.com contributor. This is an excellent avenue to have your works published into book form. I have one book and I am working on others. My wife and I were recently talking and reminiscing about events in our lives. We have decided to start writing down all these events and considering putting them into a book. No, it won't be a bestseller, but it will give our kids memories of us. All these interests take time, and I must decide on where to allocate my time. My main interest now is working on books. Yourhub.com at the present time must take a backseat. Where will I be in the future? I don't have an answer. Ouch. Your hub date unknown. I was reading Barbara's blog about coping with her broken bones. In her publication, she gave a list of things she can do. I thought this also gave her something to write about, even if it is only with one hand. I am not going to go out and break a bone, so I have something to write about. However, I did remember an accident that happened to me about 4 years ago, and I will share that. This accident happened in August 2004. I was home alone, in my garage, cutting some half-inch thick pine for some project I was working on. This one cut needed to be cut at a 45-degree angle. I have done this hundreds of times and didn't think much about it. Just after the saw blade cut through that angle cut, the blade flung the small piece of scrap back and it hit me in the tummy. It was traveling so fast it knocked the wind out of me. I had a t-shirt on and could not see the abrasion caused by the scrap piece of wood. After I gained my composure and got the saw turned off, I raised my shirt, and I was amazed at the abrasion on my stomach. This was a small piece of scrap, maybe 5 inches long, and the thick part was a couple of inches wide and did not weigh that much. When my wife returned and I told her of the accident, she didn't believe me. She said, "A piece that small couldn't create such a large abrasion." The bruising didn't start to show up until the following day. It could have been worse. If it propelled so that the pointed end struck my stomach, it could have penetrated and entered. I was home alone, and I may have bled to death if that happened. I was wearing safety glasses at the time, but if that piece of scrap flew up higher than it did, I don't know if safety glasses would have stopped it because of the velocity it was flying at. I could have easily lost an eye. This accident emphasizes the importance of safety glasses when you are around any kind of power equipment. You never know when an accident will occur. I survived. I had pain in my gut for a couple of weeks and all the bruising was gone in a month. All I have now are the photos and the memory of this unusual accident. I don't even remember what I was going to use the wood for. Halloween fun. May 4, 2017. Writing group. When I was young, Halloween was an exciting time for me and the neighborhood kids. This was before store-bought costumes and one had to make their own costume out of items available at the time. Masks were available at the stores, but dress or decoration items were from your own creation. We may have started making our costumes a week before the night of trick or treating. Also, the day before you got to wear your costume to school, and the school would have a parade and sugary snacks to keep the dentists busy. They also had a best costume contest, which I never won. Coming Halloween evening never came soon enough. We could hardly wait for darkness to come. My mother would make us eat dinner before we struck out on the trick or treat adventure. Finally, we could go and the race was on. We discovered that a pillowcase was the ideal treat bag. It was large and did not tear like those flimsy grocery sacks. This was before the fear of bad guys and razor blades in the treats. We would go for blocks around our neighborhood and it was a big race to see how many goodies we could accumulate. For some reason we yelled out handouts instead of trick or treat, don't really remember why. We hated it when the home would require us to do a trick for a treat because it slowed us down. I remember some neighbors would hide in the bushes with some scary costume out and scare when we started to leave. We would get enough treats to last us up to and maybe beyond Thanksgiving. Most of the goodies were sugary items, and on occasion we would get an apple, orange, or a penny. How boring. There are more fond memories of this event than bad ones. On occasion we would run across some big kids and they would attempt to take all of our stash. One learns to run very fast with all those baggies dragging on the ground costumes. Springtime happiness. March 1, 2018. Writing group. After months of cold, snow and being shut in more than what I like, I am ready for spring. The days are getting longer and I am getting excited about the warmer days of spring. I like the spring. I enjoy watching the trees and bushes preparing to green up. Since we have moved, I do not have much space for gardening, but I still get the many seed and flower catalogs for me to thumb through and think of flowers and vegetables. I enjoy watching things grow, and many days I just go out to see how things progress. Last year I did not have very good luck growing tomatoes, but that did not stop me to attempt growing tomatoes again this year. The other day Dee and I went to Dollar Tree and I happened to notice some seed packets. I had to buy some. I am not sure where I am even going to plant them, but I just could not pass up the good deal. Spring is just a happier time for me. Winters are hard for me to stay in. I am glad when I am able to get out and enjoy the outside without freezing your tail off. My attitude changes and it is just a better time in my life. That is one thing I really like about the Colorado weather, and that is the many days of sunshine this area has. I remember when I was in the army in Nuremberg, Germany for about 8 months. In those 8 months I do not think the sun was out more than 2 weeks for the entire period I was there. This was from December to July, but even the springtime was cloudy and overcast. The Nuremberg weather was not my favorite. I guess I will be a Denverite the rest of my time. I am sure there are other things that happen in spring, but I just can't think of anything at the time. I guess I am stuck on the weather. Dee has asked me if I am writing about my duck. So, I will write about my duck. I won a duck at a bazaar when I was young. This was a recently hatched duckling, and I enjoyed watching this duck grow up that summer. I made a cage and the duck stayed in the cage during the day, and at night Iz would pick up the cage and the duck would follow me into the garage. The duck would stand on the paper she laid down and wait for me to put the cage over her. This duck knew the drill. Also, I dug a small pond and would fill it with water and watch the duck swim around and have a ball. This duck gave me many fond memories. 19. Pam and Paul, Nuremberg, Germany, spring of 1965. September 6th. 2018 Writing Group. Pam and Paul were talking the other day and they were reminiscing that absence makes the heart grow fonder. This sparked the memory when they were in Nuremberg, Germany in the spring of 1965. The weather was cool and sunny, which was quite a difference to the normal weather of overcast and dreary. To start the late morning, Paul suggested in having a beer in the beer gardens at the Duisentech. They were sitting there and conversing about all the history in this area. Near the area was Soldiers Field. This was the field that Hitler had his rallies that everyone has seen on the media. During that time the name was Zeppelin Field, and the name Soldiers Field was given when the U.S. Army overtook Nuremberg. Since Paul was in the army stationed at Merrill Barracks in Nuremberg, he remembers this place very well. Merrill Barracks was an old SS caserne building again before the army overtook Nuremberg. There are many stories going around about this area. 1. Story is that there were tunnels going to all the sites in this area, and there were underground basements that stored many items of war such as tanks, planes, and arms. Paul remembered that him and his friends spent many hours looking for the entrance to these basements. I am having a mental block. November 1st, 2018 Writing Group. With all these subjects tossed out, one would think I would find a subject to write about. Should I write about my faith or religion, past and present? Should it be about saints and souls, which I know very little about? Or should it be about Veterans Day or Armistice Day? Many of the subjects I would like to write about are subjects that I am not ready to disclose to the outside world. So here I am still searching for a topic to put in words. Recently I have been very critical of my writing ability. In fact, I do not like my own words. Someone in my past said that you are your largest critic of your work, and I am beginning to see that in my writing. Members of the group have stated that they have felt that their writing is improving. Unfortunately, I am beginning to feel mine is becoming worse. The words and sentences do not come as easily as they did years ago. Do you think that the age of the brain is becoming a factor? One does not want to admit that they are starting to show their age. After this session I decided to take a break from the writing group. Writing group recap. My wife Dee and I joined the writing group in October 2006. It was a group of 8 to 12 people who were interested in writing. The writers were mostly senior members because the sponsoring church is mostly seniors. The group was organized by a former teacher at Regis University who taught writing techniques. Most of the group were members of Holy Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lakewood. We would meet once a month for a couple of hours, with the first hour of writing and the last hour to read your story and share comments and suggestions to improve your writing. The subject would be a writing prompt suggestion by the facilitator or a suggestion by someone in the group. You could always write about anything if you did not want to write about the prompt. There were many good times in the 12 years I participated in the sessions. After a period of time, ones start to trust and become close to each other. When that happens, you share more about yourself than just an associate. People cried and became emotional many times. Unfortunately, one time a person took offense to a comment and walked out and never returned. Near the end, I was experiencing writer's block and it was becoming difficult to write about the prompt or even write about anything at the time allotted. There were times when I would just watch the other members write and not write a word. I don't know whether it was my frame of mind at the time or I was just losing interest in this platform. Finally, I decided to hang up my writing group pen and stop attending. My wife, Dee, is still attending though. I was surprised the writing group sessions did not fill up two Ramblings magazine, so here I am writing to fill up three pages. What I am thinking today, May 12th, 2024. Today is Mother's Day and a couple of days ago I realized that it has been over 40 years since Mom passed away. I was in her body for 9 months. She nourished me, kept me warm and protected me while I was just growing inside her. I am sure I created her a lot of pain since she commented to me that I was a large baby. From birth until my 20s she fed me, protected me, taught me many things about living and life. As I look back at my life, I was a handful during my young years. One time while standing in the grocery store behind this lady. The lady turned around and said to me, "You little snot." My mother asked her what the problem was and the lady replied, "Your son just pinched me on the butt." I then received the lesson that you don't pinch ladies' butts. The teenage years were very difficult for me, which today I still do not know why. I was angry at the world and didn't like myself. I took everything for granted and gave my mother many trying times in those years. I got involved with the wrong crowd of teenagers and was very fortunate I didn't get arrested or paid long term for any deeds we did. My mother continued to love me and never left my side. When I was drafted into the army, she faithfully wrote me a letter every week. If it wasn't for the letters from Mom, I would have received very few letters from home during military times. I had very few friends at that time. I am the type of person that does not attempt to continue a friendship. Coming home from the military, my parents welcomed me back into their home and allowed me to live there until marriage came into my life. I did have to pay room and board while I lived there though. It was good for me because I needed to realize in this world nothing is free. Mom loved me just as much as she did when I was young. Through marriage, a divorce, living alone, Mom was always beside me. Her love never faltered. I now regret that I took this love for granted and I wish I would have done more and showed more appreciation for this everlasting love. I am sure Mom is looking down at me now and saying, "Tom, I still love you. Mom, I love you. I am sorry it took me so long to realize how much I love you." A World of Fruit, May 14th, 2024. Without a doubt, my favorite fruit is bananas. A half of banana with my boring breakfast cereal. My doctor recommended that I eat a half of banana because of the high sugar content, and I am pre-diabetic. You peel them instead of wash them, how convenient. Next is the grape. I prefer green grapes over red. But they do say red grapes are better for you because of the additional antioxidants. Oh well, life is not perfect. The third pick is oranges. We have become attached to the small cuties. Some call them clementines. Standard size oranges are just too large for me and the sometimes can be a job to peel. One must not forget apples. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Finally, are olives. I enjoy green olives. Sometimes I eat 6 to 7 or a dozen at a time. These are the small olives, not the martini size large olives. The olive haters ask me, "How can you stand them? They are too bitter." I reply, "In a previous life I was a Roman soldier and during a march to a new battle we would stop by the olive orchard and eat them right off the tree. If you believe this tale, I have a bridge in Arizona you can buy." Insanity is doing the same thing, over and over again, but expecting different results. Narcotics Anonymous. My take on the Iowa caucuses, published January 4, 2008, yourhub.com. Finally, after hearing about them for over 30 days, the Iowa caucuses are over. The Rocky Mountain News dedicated the front page and 10 pages of non-revenue producing pages in Friday's paper. All this coverage reminds me of a storm forecast and then the storm blows over. I am not a political junkie. I knew about the caucuses, however, I didn't treat it like the Super Bowl of politics. I did not read the 10 pages of coverage. I looked at the pictures and glanced at the content. I am a skimmer. If it doesn't capture my interest in the first couple of paragraphs, I go on to something else. I did notice some interesting statistics in the coverage. In a chart titled, How the Fields Finished, I saw that the total votes were very low on the Democratic caucuses. There were only 2,500 votes cast for the 9 contenders. In another area on the page, it listed 600,572 registered Democratic voters. If these numbers are correct, that means that the turnout was less than 0.5%. This really surprised me. I thought the turnout would have been higher than that. Where was everyone? The news media played this up as a big political event. The Republicans fared better. They had 115,000 votes out of 574,571 registered Republicans, or about 20%. I guess that is pretty good for a caucus since a presidential election only draws 40 to 50% of the registered voters. If this poor turnout on the Democratic side continues to the presidential election, they will have a serious problem. With this low turnout in Iowa, I don't feel that any direction of the votes can be determined yet. Another interesting statistic I noticed was the number of unaffiliated registered voters. In Iowa, there are 737,054 unaffiliated voters. This figure is higher than either party. My read on this is that many voters are unhappy with the two political parties. I was a registered Democrat for many years and voted mostly Democratic. Maybe 15 years ago I changed my affiliation to unaffiliated. I am one of those voters who don't want to be affiliated with any party right now. There are issues the Democrats stand for and I don't agree with. On the other hand, there are issues the Republicans stand for and I can't agree with them. I am one of those swing voters both parties can attempt to convince me that they deserve my vote. I don't know whom I am going to vote for. The field is still too broad for me to decide on. What this nation really needs is a president that can unite this country. This country needs another John F. Kennedy or another Ronald Reagan. We need a person who can make Americans proud to be an American. Unfortunately, I do not see this in any of the candidates running in 2008. I will more than likely end up voting for the lesser of two evils, not a candidate who I believe is the best person for the office. Memories published December 12, 2007. YourHub.com won 5 sets of Nuggets tickets for 5 games and a $60 Nugget jersey. I have over 20 years of memories. How do I pick one to share? I could write about the Christmas when my son Adam called from Iraq to wish us a Merry Christmas and to tell us he was well and missed us. Or I could share the memory when my stepdaughter Renee called me Maud. Everyone asked, "What is Maud?" She responded and said, "My other dad." That was a memory to remember. However, I want to share a tradition that my wife, Dee, and I started the first year we met. I have known Dee for over 20 years now, and every year since we met, we buy each other a small ornament with the year on it. I don't exactly remember how this tradition got started, but I would suspect that Dee originated the tradition. She is the sentimentalist in the family. I do guy things and she do girl things. Together we stay in the realm of reality. We now have 23 years of ornaments. After a period of years, we accumulated quite a few. We got a separate tree to put all these special ornaments on. This is a small tree, only about 3 feet. This special tree is put in our bay window in the front room, decorated with lights. And our special yearly ornaments. Every year I make a point to get that special ornament. I have purchased them from various retail stores, and from online stores. Looking for and buying the special ornament is a memory in itself. Yes, I have this year's ornament already. Christmas Eve is reserved for special ornaments. That is the only present we open on Christmas Eve, and we then put it in a prominent location on our special tree. The other day I walked by the tree with all the special ornaments and stopped and looked at all the different ornaments and recalled memories of our time together. This was a memory in itself. I reflected on good times and memories that Dee and I have accumulated in the past 23 years. There are memories of trips we took together and special times throughout the year. I have come to the conclusion that it is the small special things that create memories of great moments. It may be that special little kiss or a warm smile in public. Or it may be that special Christmas ornament you give to the one you love. Most Men Become Fathers, published June 8, 2008. YourHub.com. Next Sunday we will celebrate Father's Day. This day was started in the early 20th century to complement Mother's Day to celebrate fatherhood and male parenting. My father was a father, I became a father, and my sons became fathers. I am pretty sure this tradition will continue for many years to come. Most men become fathers during their span on this earth. Some fathers are not accountable for their actions and leave the mother to raise and provide for the results of their intimate actions. Many fathers do accept responsibility and provide help and resources needed to raise and nurture the child to become a responsible adult. I commend all fathers who have accepted the responsibility of fatherhood. Father's Day is a day for fathers that help provide for and nurture their children. In a perfect world, all the fathers would feed, protect, and teach their children the means of becoming responsible humans. Unfortunately, this is a broken world, and most fathers fall somewhere between the perfect father and the father who will not account for his actions. My father fell in between these boundaries. I consider myself very fortunate for having the father I had. He provided us with food, heat, and clothing. He was on the upper part of the scale compared to some of the other fathers of friends I knew as I grew up. I had my issues with him. There have been times that I have commented that the most memorable thing I remember about my father is that he sat in his chair and read the newspaper from cover to cover every night and expected our mother to take care of us. My dad was the typical Archie Bunker. He worked, and his home was his throne and mother was to do everything around the house. There were times when his temper got a little out of control. However, he never used physical violence on my mother or us. He never smiled very much and sometimes I think he did not like holidays. On the other hand, he never came home drunk, was faithful to our mother, and was there throughout the years. My dad passed away in 1985. We had good times and bad times. I still think about him and wish I could have said some things to him before he passed on. I regret that I did not have more time to spend with him as I became older and started to realize that I should not have taken my dad for granted. The time you have may be shorter than you think. You can pick your friends, but you do not pick your father, and whatever your situation is, he will always be your father. Finally, if your father is alive and near, give him an extra hug and kiss this Father's Day. 1995. Another victim of the book bug published June 23, 2008 yourhub.com. These days everyone writes a book. Bill O'Reilly, Al Gore, Rush Limbaugh, and Scott McClellan are just a few. I could name hundreds, but I won't. If you are in the public arena, a book completes your profile. Even if you are not in the public arena, your name on the cover of a book is a dream for many. I was one in the last example. I don't think I would live long enough to convince a book publisher to invest money in a book by me. Now this has all changed. Joe McDaniel's article, Bitten by the Book Bug, informed me about Blurby.com. I thank Joe for sharing this information. Now I have a book. Back in October, I wrote about our trip to Italy. I took this story and combined it with a selection of the photos I took on the trip and came up with a 7x7 40-page book. I recently received my copies, and I am impressed with the quality of their work. I ordered one soft cover and one hard cover to compare each type of book. They both turned out very well. My photos look like professional prints. A preview of the first 15 pages of the book can be viewed at this link. Am I expecting to sell large quantities of this book? No. I have my copies and some of our families want a copy. Maybe a few of the members on the tour will buy some copies. I don't expect to get rich out of my books, I am doing them for self-satisfaction. Writing keeps my mind active and off the streets and out of the bars. Blurgy.com appears to be a popular site. I entered my book on a Friday and on the following Monday there were close to over 90 books entered after mine. Exploring the book selection, I noticed a lot of photography books. I saw wedding books, anniversaries, yearbooks, almost anything you can think of. There are three sizes available, a 7x7, an 8x10 and a larger size. The price goes up after 40 pages. Just remember, you are the author, editor, copy artist, and setup. What you submit is what you get. They do not do any reviewing or editing. This site fills a need for an amateur writer like me. I am considering other books in the future. I have a lot of photos of flowers, and I am working on a book of these photos. I also have lots of photos of custom cars and hot rods, and I am looking to make a book out of this collection of photos. The other day my wife and I were reminiscing about past adventures in our lives and the comment was made that these adventures will be lost if they are not written down before we pass on. Therefore, I am starting a biography of my life. Sure, you can write a life story and put it in on letter-sized paper. However, Your life in a book form adds a dimension not available to just papers. The sunset is on the horizon. I can see the sunset. I am 82 years into my life. It has been a rewarding life. I have learned a lot and had many adventures and experiences in these years. How much time do I have left? It may be 20 days or 20 years. On God knows the answer. I had two loving parents who raised me, protected me, and taught me in my young years. They were an important part of my journey. I had a bonus of Grandma Mary for the first 15 years of my life. She was an important part of my growing and learning years. My brother Jack was part of my life and still is. I love them and always will. Thank you for everything you have done for me. Throughout my life, I encountered many people that has a special place in my heart. Sandra was my first female attraction in my growing years. I will always remember her and what we experienced together. Friends Jack, John, Mike, and Leonard from my working years. Stan and Chuck from church experiences. Angelo from my military experience. I will always remember Julie, who gave birth to Jeff and Adam, the two sons that I will always love. My wife Dee, who picked me up, dusted me off, and helped me realize that there is life after a heartbreaking experience. She blessed me with four stepchildren and a family who has a special place in my heart. Dee continues to help and share this journey of life. I love them and they will always have a special place in my heart. I have experienced the American dream. I have been blessed with over 40 years of employment, homes, financial security, and over 18 years of retirement. I thank the Lord for being so generous and protective during this time on earth. In conclusion, I have been so blessed with so much in this life. Sometimes I wonder why I have been so fortunate. I certainly could have done more than what I did. The most important thing I learned from life is, God loves me and you unconditionally. Christ died for our sins.
That's it for this issue. Hope to see you next issue. Have a nice day.